Anyways, while they're doing that, today is the appearance day, or disappearance day, sorry, of Srila Madhavendra Puri. So, just say a few words about His Divine Grace. And thank you all for being here and allowing me to sit in front of you. Actually, somebody asked me yesterday, knowing that I travel quite a bit, what is your favorite place? Where do you, you know, what place do you feel most at home? And immediately I said, here, Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's true. Here in Soho Street, just, this is home. So, very happy to be home. So, Srila Madhavendra Puri had appeared in the 14th century, and he was the disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha. He was himself the guru of Advaita Acharya, Ishwara Puri, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And some say he was the guru of Nityananda, but that isn't upheld by our understanding, but rather they were very closely connected, and Lord Nityananda, he accepted him as his guru, and he treated him as his guru. When they met, it was in Western India, somewhere in Western India, and when Nityananda Prabhu saw Madhavendra Puri, he fainted in ecstatic trance, fell on the ground. And Madhavendra Puri, when he saw Nityananda, he forgot himself also, and he also fainted on the ground. So Lord Chaitanya has commented that there is no one to compare to Madhavendra Puri in relishing the mellows of devotional love. So Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri, they slowly came back to their external consciousness, and seeing each other again, they embraced each other. And in this embrace, they were crying for joy, and they were rolling on the ground. And it is said that by the appearance, it's such bhava, the mood that was coming from both of them, that their bodies combined became places of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda himself proclaimed that he had received ecstatic love of God by seeing the lotus feet of Madhavendra Puri. And he commented, thus my life has been blessed. Now, Madhavendra Puri could not let go of Nityananda. He was holding so tightly. And his voice was choked. It was like he was trying to say something, but he couldn't say it. And the disciples of Madhavendra Puri who were present there were observing this phenomenal scene. And they were understanding that they were being privileged to witness something that was very rare. There were some other persons there, some common persons. And can we just get it to stay in one place? Like just right here. Does it keep? Thanks. Okay. So, oops. I think right now it's okay. It's standing still. So the microphone, Leela. So Madhavendra Puri couldn't let go of Nityananda. His voice was like very choked. He was trying to say something. Disciples were witnessing this. Just amazement. What is this wonderful thing? And they were relishing it. And then there were some common folks, you know, sort of like being at a Rath Yatra festival and the devotees are Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and they don't see anything that's to the right or the left. They're just seeing the ecstatic figure of Lord Chaitanya and his brother and sister. So, and then other people, if you do glance around, you'll see other people on either side of the cart who just may be passing by, and they're sitting and talking to each other like none of this is going on, you know. So, those are the unfortunate persons. It was described in the purport that they were brutish brutes, like brutes, you know. uncultured. So then the disciples, they didn't like this distraction. It's kind of like when you're in Joppa, and then two people start talking. You know, everybody's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then two people start talking, and, you know, sure they're talking about Krishna or something wonderful, but it's like a little bit of a distraction, you know. So they were feeling like this was a distraction, so they pulled up the Lord's, their guru and Lord Nityananda, and they went off further away into the forest, and they just spent the night in this ecstatic association, unbothered by any other diverse consciousness. So the Madhavendra's Puri's love of God was particularly uncommon. It was said that if he saw a blackish rain cloud, he would faint. And then he would be crying, or he'd be laughing, or he'd be roaring. And Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri, they were compared to volcanoes belching lava. So, you know, a vague volcano, all this like hot lava comes flowing out, it's uncontrollable. So in the same way, they were loudly laughing. Loud laughter was coming from their mouth. It was uncontrollable. So in the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's one nice quote, that Madhavendra Puri's body is totally ornamented with divine love, as are his followers. He takes nothing but the juice of the mellows of love for Krishna as his foodstuff, and thus his body becomes the place of pastimes for Sri Krishna. So then, a little bit of that. Madhavendra Puri traveled to Govardhan, and when he came upon Govardhan, then he again went into this mad and ecstatic mood and circumambulated Giriraj. And after doing that, he took a bath in Govindakum and then sat under a tree. And he was in a meditation. He wasn't, you know, thinking, when will I get prasadam, or, you know, boy, that took a lot of effort, I'm tired now. He was in total ecstatic absorption. And he was not eating or drinking. So at one point, this beautiful young divine child appeared. And Madhavendra Puri was asking, you know, who are you? You know, where do you come from? Where do you live? You know, and this young child, he was offering him a pot of milk. So he asked, how did you know I was fasting? Then the beautiful young child, he replied, I'm a cowherd boy and I reside here in this village. No one fasts in this village. You can just go out and ask, and people can beg food from others and eat. Some only drink milk here. But if somebody does not ask for food, then I will supply all edibles. The ladies had come from to get water, and they saw you, and they told me, and they gave me milk, this milk to bring to you. So you please eat, please take this milk, and I'll come back later to collect the pot, but I have to go milk the cows now. And then he disappeared. And Madhavendra Puri was just filled with wonder about what just happened, what is this? And he drank the milk, and he washed the pot, and he put it aside. But then the child did not return. And Madhavendra Puri was in a state of sleeplessness. Couldn't sleep. I mean, some of us have trouble sleeping anyway, but can you imagine having such an encounter? How could you sleep after that? So then at one point he went kind of dozed off. He wasn't asleep, but you know, and it's like in a daydream. Like somehow we do that sometimes during class, you know. Kind of go into another state. But in that state of consciousness, into that daydream, again the same beautiful child appeared. And he took him by the hand, and he led him to a bush in the nearby forest, and he told him that I reside here in this bush, and as a result I suffer from the severe cold, the harsh rain, the winds, the blazing heat. So he told him, bring the villagers and have them take me out of this bush and situate me on top of the hill, meaning Govardhan. And then he told him, construct a temple and wash my body with large amounts of cold water to cleanse it. And then he's told him, I've been sitting here watching you, and I've been wondering, when will Madhavendra Puri come? So due to your ecstatic love, I've accepted your service. And thus I shall appear to deliver all fallen souls. And he told him, my name is Gopala, and I'm the lifter of Govardhan Hill. And then he explained how he had been installed by King Vajranabhra, and when the Mohammedans came and started their destruction, his pujari became fearful, and he hid him in this bush, and then out of fear for his own life, the pujari ran away. So he says, now it's good that you've come. Remove me with care. And then there's a description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Madhya Lila in the fourth canto, which describes the whole affair that followed, that the grand installation, the Anukut celebration, which we also celebrate as Govardhan Puja. And this deity now, this Gopala deity, is in Nathdwar in Rajasthan and is continuing to be worshipped by the Vallabha Sampradaya. So when Madhavendra Puri disappeared, today the disappearance day, he was absorbed in complete separation from Krishna. And during this, he was completely oblivious to any external activities or any external consciousness wasn't even, you know, being interfered with. He was completely absorbed, and he was chanting over and over and over one verse. It's printed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, also in the Madhya Lila, in the fourth chapter, 197. So it's, O compassionate Lord of the poor and humble, O Lord of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Of course, he's chanting in Bengali. I'm saying in English so that you'll know. Without seeing you, my heart has become conflicted. Oh, my beloved, I am overwhelmed. What shall I do now? So this is called Rasa Kavya, our very best poetry. And originally this was spoken by Srimati Radharani after Krishna had gone to Mathura. And this was her broken-hearted state of separation. And this is considered to be, by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the essence of the mood of separation, the essence of this Vipramlambara mood. So, Madhavendra Puri Ki Jai. Okay, now we'll try to get to today's verse. And can somebody tell me what the time for the ending of the class is? Okay, thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is a verse from the fourth canto, 14th canto of Adi Lila, text 19. Translation by His Divine Grace. In the future, this child will protect and maintain all the world. For this reason, he is to be called Vishwambara. Purport. The Chaitanya Bhagavat confirms that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his birth, has made the whole world peaceful. As in the past, Narayan protected this earth in his incarnation as Varaha. Because of his protecting and maintaining this world in the present Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Vishvambara, which refers to one who feeds the entire world. The movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was present 500 years ago is again being propagated all over the world, and factually we are seeing its practical results. People are being saved, protected, and maintained by this Hare Krishna movement. Thousands of followers, especially Western youths, are taking part in this Hare Krishna movement, and how safe and happy they feel can be understood from the expressions of gratitude in their hundreds and thousands of letters. The name Vishvambara is also mentioned in the Atharva Veda Samhita 3.3.16.5. Vishvambara Vishwena Ma Barasa Pahi Swaha. Uma Ganadhirandasya Gananasakaya Chaksun Mivitam Yena Tasme Sigare Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhayascha, Patitanam Pavanevimbhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I wanted to go back a little to the, because I saw the way the classes are going there. They're taking different slokas from different parts of the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. So, in this particular chapter, it's entitled Lord Chaitanya's Childhood Pastimes, and we're just heading into the 19th verse, and the first pastime has been described, which was the pastime of his mother seeing the marks on the floor in the house, and it's wondering, where did this come from? You know, who's been here? There was some consideration that, well, maybe Lord Krishna has actually come in the form of a child and is in the altar room playing with Shalagram Shila, because they saw the symptoms of the soul were similar. And then the baby tried to stand up. And babies do that. They try to get up. So he was lying on the bed, face up. And could see on the soles of the feet. But in another, Prabhupada also mentions that itana means lying flat, face up, but somewhere it's described ita with an H. Itana means standing up and then lying down, meaning he tried to stand up, but he fell down, which is consistent with a child, you know, learning to walk. So either way, Mother Sachi saw the soles of his feet. And she was feeling great joy. She took him on her lap and she was offering her breast. She called her husband in, you know, to see, and he could see the baby's feet. So that was beginning to invoke some revelations in their mind. And the first text, though, is very instructive for all bhaktas, for all devotees. It says that things are very difficult, things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. Then the author says, to this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. So we can see when we read these sacred texts like Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and others, that the author, the so-called author, because they don't claim ownership, that, you know, like we may write a book and we'll put our name, I wrote this book, you know. But we understand that the author Chaitanya Chaitamrita was very elderly, practically elderly to the point of infirmity. And he was expressing how he actually could, you know, was not understanding how he could even do this. And yet somehow he was writing. And at the beginning, even in the middle, and definitely at the end of every text, he glorifies the object of his affection, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the devotees of Mahaprabhu. You know, just like Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, that the glorification of the Lord and his devotees are consistent in the mood and the minds and the hearts of the Vaishnavas. So, in his book, Chaitanya Chandramrita, Prabhudananda Saraswati says, he reflects on the same point, that one who receives a little favor from the Lord becomes so exalted that he does not even care for liberation, which is sought after by great scholars and philosophers. So, in other words, this liberation is not something that's so wonderful for a devotee. And there's given an example how the devotees, by Prabhudananda Saraswati, that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they're just thinking the heavenly planets are like the will-o'-the-wisp. So will-o'-the-wisp is something that you see, but you don't see, because it doesn't really exist. It's coming from the mind. You could say a mental speculation or a hallucination. And he was saying that the devotees surpass this so-called perfection of mystic yoga, and they look at it like a snake with broken fangs, because they're engaged in devotional service. So the example means, like, if there's a snake, a poisonous snake, there's going to be some fear because the snake may bite you. But if the fangs are broken, then the venom cannot flow. So there's no reason to be fearful. So in the engaged in devotional service, when one is engaged in the service of the Lord, there's no danger of snakes. And this is the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then also in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's a reconfirmation that these difficult things become easy to understand if one remembers Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the easy things become difficult to understand if one forgets him. So Prabhupada compares this with the great scientists of the world, you know, in the eyes of the general public. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, Ramchandra, Lakshman, Sita Devi. So one sees a great scientist, somebody who's accomplished some kind of great task, or has so-called discovered something. You know, as scientists are wont to do, they'll discover something, which is kind of a joke, because how can you discover something that's already there? So it means what they're really, without realizing it, they're glorifying themselves or the discoverer of something. Like, oh, this person is so wonderful because they discovered this, you know. But whatever they so-called discover, it's already there. It means that before their so-called discovery, they were just blinded. They couldn't see it. You know, so what's so wonderful now, to give credit to them for now seeing what was already there. So then Prabhupada said that in general, these scientists, they can't understand the very simple thing, that life comes from life. And that is because, Prabhupada said, they do not have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to describe the pastimes of his appearance as a child. And he does this because he knows one can't write transcendental literature by mental speculation. You know. So without taking shelter of the Lord, one is unable to properly glorify him. And he said, one who writes about the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be specially favored by the Lord. He said, simply by academic qualification, it is not possible to write such literature. And we saw in the case of Srila Prabhupada that sometimes he would be lauded or praised for his various work. But to the devotees, he would just say, I'm not doing anything. I'm just repeating. I am not writing anything. You know? I am just repeating what Krishna has told me. So this is Srila Prabhupada showing his mood of following in the previous acharyas and his humility, that he is not taking that I am such a great person that, you know, now I am giving all of this to you, but like a reporter for the Supreme Lord. So this is the proper mood, the proper activity of the Vaishnav, to always defer to the Supreme Personality and also to his devotees. So consistently in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, consistently in the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we are seeing how the devotees are an integral part of all the pastimes and all the activities. So when the Lord tried to walk in his first childhood pastime, then the specific marks that were visible were the flag, the thunderbolt, the conch shell, a disc, and a fish. And these were seen now by his mother and his father. Jagannath Mishra was thinking, well, certainly child Krishna is with us, you know, taking his childhood form. He's with the shalagram, Srila, playing with it, you know. Because to think that here, this baby was actually the Lord, would have been so inconceivable. It would have broken the father-son relationship, actually. Then they were talking. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi were talking. And Jagannath Mishra, he called for the astrologer, Nilavar Chakravarti. And when Nilavar Chakravarti saw the marks, he started to smile, you know, kind of like a knowing smile, like when Lord Krishna and Arjuna were there and Arjuna was going through all his mental trauma and dilemma. And then finally, said, before he answered, Krishna smiled, you know, kind of like that smile of a knowing parent. Okay, my dear child, now I'm going to tell you something. So Nilambar Chakravarti had this smile, and he admitted that actually he had already ascertained all of this by astrological calculation and noted it in writing. And he explained how there were 32 bodily marks that symptomize a great personality. And he said, I see all of these marks on the body of this child. So of the 32 marks, and they're described that 5 of them on the bodily parts are very large, and 5 are very fine, 7 are reddish, 6 are raised, 3 are small, 3 are broad, and 3 are graved. And it's interesting that the 3 grave parts are the navel, his voice, and it said existence. So I was finding that really interesting, meditating on the existence of Lord Chaitanya, his existence, and it was very grave. And it said that this is a quotation from the Samudrika, one of the ancient books. So then he said, well, this baby has all the symptoms of Lord Narayan on his palms and his soles. So he will be able to deliver the 3 worlds. So now Jagannath Mishra is getting a hint that this child is definitely uncommon, a little more uncommon than he might have considered. And then he told him, this child will preach the Vaishnava cult and deliver both his maternal and his paternal families. So in the commentary, Prabhupada points out that only Narayan himself, or his bona fide representative, can preach the cult of Vaishnavism, or devotional service, meaning bhakti yoga. And then that's one point. The second point he makes is that when a Vaishnava is born, he delivers both his maternal and his maternal mother's side and father's families simultaneously. And within the Hare Krishna movement, we've actually experienced wonderful situations where the parents or grandparents of a devotee who are not particularly even favorable in some cases, and yet by the activities of devotional service by the particular child at the time of departure for these family members, the Lord has made wonderful arrangements. I have one interesting experience where there was one person, one man, one father, who was the most despicable creature you could imagine. And they're from an Indian family also, not even, a fallen Western Malecha, it was like a fallen Indian Malecha. But somehow, and this man was brutal. He beat his wife horribly, and he brought another woman. He had another woman, and he would bring her to the home in front of the children and the wife. I mean, how low can you be? Both of his daughters somehow or other became devotees, became Vaishnavs, Gaudiya Vaishnavs. One is initiated by a little-known Gaudiya Vaishnav, and the other sister also took initiation from that person. Long story short, that person had fallen. And then the other girl, she took reinitiation by Radhana Swami, and she is married to an ISKCON devotee. So this father became really sick. And the one daughter who had married an ISKCON man and taken reinitiation by Radhana Swami, she was living in America. The other sister was there in India. And even though the father had been such a person of low character, unbelievable, she felt it was her duty to care for her father in his illness. And the woman who had been, this mistress woman, second wife, whatever you want to call that woman, as soon as he became sick and could no longer provide her, that was it. She went out of the picture. Almost. I say almost because after she passed, she tried to sue to get from this estate. But there was this man who had been contrary, drinking, eating meat, smoking, everything, he did it. And having this woman, the daughter took him. He was in his helpless state. And she dressed him in dhoti and kurta and put tilak on his body every single day in Kunti Mala. And she began reading this Bhagavad Gita, and the guy, because of his condition, he couldn't say anything. And she read up until the 18th chapter, and then he passed away. So, how amazing that such, you would not imagine such a dog would get such mercy. But it's said here that when a Vaishnava is born, he delivers both his maternal and paternal families simultaneously. So then the other point, that only Narayan himself, or his bona fide representative, can preach the cult of bhakti, our devotional service. So we have the ecstatic example of Srila Prabhupada himself. And by this description we can understand that he is a bona fide representative, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's further said elsewhere in the CC that only a person who is especially favored by the Lord can successfully preach the cult of bhakti. So then we can understand that Srila Prabhupada, not only was he a bona fide representative, but he was actually favored specifically by the Lord. And this favoring of the Lord is called Shaktavesh Avatar. When somebody is sent by the Lord to perform a particular duty, a particular service. So he's empowered by the Lord to do this. And we can see how Srila Prabhupada was empowered by the Supreme Lord to actually fulfill the prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that his name would be chanted in every town and village. If this was not a fact, Srila Prabhupada could not have been successful, and we wouldn't be sitting here today in front of their lordships, Radha Gokulananda and Sri Sri Gornithai. Actually, Sri Sri Gornithai were the first deities installed here at the manor. And they were over in the little room. I think it's your theater room now. And when Srila Prabhupada took their first darshan, he was looking at them very intently. And he gave, on the spot, two instructions. We had put long wigs, and their hair was kind of to their waist. So the first instruction was, Lord Chaitanya was not a hippie. His hair should just be here, and he indicated to the shoulders. And then he said, Lord Chaitanya must, his words, quote, must wear a peacock feather. He said, Lord Nityananda can, but he doesn't have to. So Lord Chaitanya must wear a peacock feather. And we see in the Mayapur temple, Vrindavan temple, in Juhu, and the Chapari temple, that Lord Chaitanya, he always has his peacock feather. So then, I'll have to end kind of quickly. The wonderful astrologer, he says, I shall perform a name-giving ceremony. And we should observe a festival and call the brahmanas, because today is very auspicious. So whenever there is a festival, the brahmanas must be there. Why? Because there's going to be a feast, and the brahmanas should always be offered the first remnants of the prasadam. So then he said, in the future, this child will protect and maintain the whole world. And for this reason, he will be called Vishwambar. So yesterday they played a tape, which for me was really ecstatic, because it was the first lecture in San Francisco about Chaitanya Chaitamitra and the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. And I had remembered parts of it, but I hadn't remembered the whole thing. I couldn't remember when it was, and I had no idea that there was this recording. So that was really wonderful. And in the recording, if you were here yesterday, you might remember that there was several wonderful points. He was stressing the difference between the Mayavadi and the Bhaktas. And he had taught us early on to have istagoshis and discuss the philosophical points. And he attended one of our little istagoshis, and in the class he noted, he said, so I see you are trying to understand this Mayavad. You know, because we were trying to, what is that, you know? So he said, you know, the Mayavad, it's a negation. You know, it is without contact with spirit, with the higher energy. It is means materialist. Literally, it means materialist. So then he was talking about these five wonderful personalities and how they have come to deliver us. And he repeated the mantra by this chanting of the Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then he said, this was our first introduction to, and then Hari Bol. He says, now you say Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And he said, this Hari Bol, it is like shortcut for Hare Krishna. So that was, and of course that kind of ignited something in us. And we were very happy that day, hearing about this wonderful golden avatar. And on our first, the first time, actually when Prabhupada first came to New York City, he was there, and he was writing in his little notebook, "Today is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, Gaur Purni. I am here alone in New York City." He was literally alone. No one is with me, just the four walls. My godbrothers are in Navadvip and Vrindavan and chanting. So, but I do not mind this inconvenience. I gladly take this inconvenience on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if I can somehow or other spread his glories. So that was the mood of Srila Prabhupada, that he has given us this mood to follow, this example to follow, that we should always be willing to extend ourselves to the fallen souls. We're also fallen souls, and somehow we got up a little bit above the lowest mark of fallen, so we should think there's more people down there. Please come up, please come up. And this Mahaprabhu Vishwambar, he can hold and maintain the whole world and all these fallen souls. And this name, here he explained the name Vishwambar refers to one who feeds the entire world. But feeds is not just the eating, but by feeding one is maintained. So that's the other more commonly understood, that the maintainer, sustainer of the entire world, Sri Vishwambar. And then Prabhupada said this movement was inaugurated 500 years ago when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present. And people are being, the results are, he said, practical results, that people are being saved and protected and maintained by this Hare Krishna movement. So that is our legacy. We have to accept this. And he said that this, especially the thousands of followers at that time, especially Western youth, they're taking part in the movement. And he said how safe and happy they feel can be understood by the expressions of gratitude in their hundreds and thousands of letters. So actually there's on archive 6,000 letters written by Srila Prabhupada. So many of them in response to his work, and most of them from his own disciples. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai ki jai, ISKCON ki jai, all of you ki jai. Hare Krishna.